So move.
I'll second it.
And. Okay, approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's like, did I miss that?
Done. Since everything said aye, huh? Approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Any further comments?
Moving this along.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Move this right along.
You got it, you're by 9:15.
Opposed, say no. Number five, public comment.
I'd like to do introductions now to public comment if we can. So everybody knows me, I'm Laura Reed, I'm the director of the ADRC. We also have Mary Nazareth here today, and Mary is our regional manager for the ADRC. Which, as we get going, I think Joe and Arnold, I kind of explained to you how the ADRC funding is regional. Greg, you won't know this yet, and then the OAA funding is more local to the county. So it can get a little confusing sometimes where the money's coming from and who it all goes to. But
are you planning to spend some time with each one?
Yeah, I actually have already met with Joe and Arnold.
Okay.
We did meet and go over some things, so I will do that with Chris, too. But Chris just literally got what you got elected last week, wasn't it?
Great.
Now it's Chris. His wife is Chris.
Now it's like,
I was wondering who she was talking about, too, because I just met Greg.
His wife is Chris. That's who I've got in my head now, Steve.
I'm Mr. Chris.
We were talking about Chris. His wife runs the Gravicone. We were talking about that, so I got Gravicone in my head, I think.
I thought everybody drives there for ice cream.
Yes.
Wow. Do you want to introduce yourself, and then we'll have the new board members talk about them?
Sure. I'm Mary Mabouf, chair from Lancaster, Wisconsin.
Dan Timmerman, county board supervisor from Keeler, Wisconsin.
Courtney Burkhart, I'm the administrative assistant here.
Dave Janney, I'm on board.
Yes.
You're a citizen member.
Yes,
citizen.
Vicki Hurst.
Citizen member from
Platteville.
Joe, do you
want to? Just Greer, citizen member.
You're a citizen member as well?
From Platteville.
And I'm Arnold Rawson, and I'm a citizen member from Platteville.
Greg Fry, I'm on the county board.
And we will have some name tags next month. I apologize for
with the right name.
Yeah, with the right name. I apologize for the air conditioning in here, but if we shut it off, it'll get bad real fast. So it is a little bit noisy, though. So especially that one is terrible, but we will do our best.
May I ask that they maybe tell us a little bit more
sure,
about themselves?
Sure, absolutely. You can.
We'll start over here.
What did you want?
A little bit more about yourself.
My name over here.
How you got out to the... You're on the board, so...
Well... I live in Fenimore. I didn't really know that was up for appointment. A friend of mine called that I served on the city council in Fenimore for 10 years that I served with and told me that this was open for appointment and he thought it would be a good fit for me. So he suggested that I call Bob Keeney and talk to him. And I talked to Bob, and Bob decided to appoint me to the board.
So you'll finish out the term. You'll finish out Pat's term.
Pat's term.
I read about your advertisement in the little paper that we get, and my folks were disabled, and my father had diabetes, and he lost both legs. And it was quite a dramatic experience for us, our family. He was very active, and we provided a they lived on our farm, and I provided their house with an electric wheelchair. It's really been amazing how he coped with that disability, and he carried on his lifestyle. That's what I just felt that it was an interest to me to be on the board, because I've had a family member that's been disabled. Learning experience for our family as well. And I have been on a number of other boards in the community that I've served on over the past years. And I just felt that as a citizen, I'd like to give this a try.
Hey,
we thank you for that.
Joe,
how about you?
I was full-time working until about 5 years ago, and found out through symptoms that I have a genetic disorder that affects the multiple systems in the body, and became disabled, and I used to have a board and a lot of school. And I've been a manager, vice president, and director, and stuff. And this seems like it would be a good opportunity to have some input into my experiences that I'm currently going through and share what I've gone through the last 5 years. And I'm just kind of learning how the thing works and getting money back and doing it.
He's got some great skill sets. Yeah. Strategic planning that I've already hit him up for. So.
Okay, wonderful.
I have a master's in management strategy. I keep my certifications and project program management up because I'm stubborn and don't expect to be in this way forever. So.
Okay, well, we thank you all.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the new board members. I think they're both going to bring some really great perspectives and great skills to the board.
Great. Welcome. So, the building update.
As you know, the building, the bid proposals went out. They have been approved by the board. The funding has also been approved by the county board. There is a construction management meeting today to talk, I think, just mostly about logistics and what's going to happen and where it's going to happen and things like that. I am going to try to get over to that so we kind of know where things. To my knowledge, I did attend the Orchard Manor meeting last week. Brad Bierman was there. Is it Brad? Is that right?
Yeah.
Now I'm questioning all my names. he was there to talk a little bit about it there. So they are going to keep this frontage road open for as long as they can, so that people will come in and access. Instead of though, like social services maybe going that way, everybody's going to have to come this way. That social services parking lot over to the north side then will be gone pretty quickly. They're going to start tearing that up. But the frontage road will be kept open until such time there is a portion of it that will have to be redone. And then at that point, they will have the road come around. You'll come up straight in and around. So, but they're going to have it all signed and everything. So as far as we know, everything, you know, consumers will still be able to access through the front door here. Shouldn't be any changes to that at all. They are going to make some parking somewhere out here. They're going to take some of the fill from out here, put it out back. Kind of directly out back here, but maybe over towards Orchard Manor too. And that will be some temporary parking for social services and for staff. But because we obviously want to keep this front parking lot for consumers, especially with parking coming up, we'll have more business out here and that sort of thing. So that is, I think, the trees. They were expecting some trees to go down. Yet this week, possibly, we do have a groundbreaking ceremony at 1 o'clock today, if you're so inclined to come out for the groundbreaking ceremony in the heat. Lovely day for it. And that's what I know. I know all the bids were filled, which was quite a feat. I guess that's not always the case. A lot of times, not all the bid proposals are actually there's bids for them, but they all were. There's a lot of local bidders, I believe. Most of the, I think, the construction, or at least the general construction in the first phase, is coming through Epic, who is also the general construction manager. I know the masonry went to Cullen, And then I think the other ones were kind of local. I don't have all the names for that. But I think there was a fair amount that were local to the area, so that was good. And like I said, they were all filled, so that's a good thing, too. So we shouldn't have any delays. It's just a matter of getting it going. They are intent on doing it sooner than later. So they want to get the jail under cover by winter so that they can provide some heat in there, because the footings there have to be done first. So.
Okay.
I'm not very wise on construction, but that's the best. That's
any more
anything
questions
to add there, Dan?
Any no, questions on the coming. Building? Pretty well. Okay. Public hearing to be said.
Yeah, I was hoping that we'd have a date for it yet, but we've been kind of going back and forth. Typically, we do a public hearing with social services in Unified, and Heather was trying to coordinate that, but there's a date she's still holding out on, so and I don't think she heard back from Fred, so I just put to be scheduled on there for right now. But I will let you know when that is. We're required by law to have a public hearing every year just to go over the aging plan and to take comments from any citizens. So.
Okay. Any questions on either of those? If not, we'll go on to 6, the advocacy reports. Regional board.
Well, we haven't had a regional. We didn't have a regional board meeting in June.
You do send out some. She said that was. She sends out some information. Though.
Yeah, we've been sending out things from the Health Care Act. In fact, if you guys want to give Lori your email, or she could email that to you, I get things from because I'm also the chair of our advocacy committee for the Aging and Disability Professionals Association of Wisconsin, also known as ADPAW. So I get we get kind of a straight information from some of the lobbyists, Janet Zander, who's our lobbyist for Wisconsin Advocacy Network. She is on our email list and things like that. So I just received, actually yesterday, comparison of the Senate's bill of the other bill, the one that Paul Ryan put out, and then Obamacare. So they have it from Kaiser Foundation type thing. So we get information like that all the time. So if you're interested in receiving that kind of stuff, give Lori your email and we can add that to our list, and I can send that stuff out to you because it's pretty interesting reading.
It is.
And a lot of it comes out of the WAN network, too, which correct. I do provide you with information on when we have it. Of course, these days, it's like every day is in. And I should point out to the new board members, part of our Older Americans Act mission is to be an advocate for older people, and same with the ADRC, to be an advocate for older people and people who may have a disability. So we will provide you information that says how, you know, bills may impact seniors. Obviously, we still have to fall within the Hatch Act. We can't go out and lobby for a particular bill. But we can give you information that you can take back and talk to your legislators. Because there is an expectation that we do try to, you know, we, like I said, be those advocates. So it's good for you to know just how things may.
I'm calling Don Johnson every day.
Okay.
Yeah, we can educate. We can't lobby. We can educate. So we do a lot of education. Here's how this would affect this.
Do you want to use this time maybe to speak about a little bit about how the regional board works, since we're going to do election on them?
Sure. So a little history. The ADRC of Southwest Wisconsin is a regional ADRC, and back in 2008 when it was forming, or 2007 actually when it was forming, they actually had our four counties, Grant, Green, Iowa, and Lafayette, and then the four north of us, so Richland, Crawford, Juneau, and Sauk. Over time, the state was saying, you know, so we had ADRC of Southwest North and the ADRC of Southwest South, which was really rather confusing. So now the four counties north of us are now called ADRC of Eagle Country. And we kind of, in the beginning, we thought that it would be great to have a more joint things going on, but we kind of took a separate way of doing things, which is fine, because we were in a different place than they were. So, anyhow, So Green County is our fiscal agent for the ADRC of Southwest Wisconsin. I'm an employee technically of Green County, but I go throughout the four counties to all the meetings and then to board meetings and things like that. We have a regional governing board, which is part of, I make sure that we're in compliance with the scope of services for the state. And one of the things in the scope of services is that we have to have a regional governing board. So at the regional governing board, we have a county board supervisor from each one of the counties on there. We have someone representing elderly from each one of the counties on the board, and then we have someone representing people with disabilities. So there's three board members from each county on our board. So we have a 12 board member. It's an interesting board where they... Mary Lou's been on our board. They all have a great time. Everybody shows up early.
People are not afraid to talk.
They're not afraid to talk.
A lot of networking goes on.
Yeah.
It's held usually in Darlington.
It's usually held in Darlington. Sometimes we go throughout to kind of check out the other ADRCs. We haven't been doing that because Green has started their building now. They're done blasting, so we were happy about that. Because between 11 and 1, they were blasting like every day, and you hear the sirens go off, and then you hear a pop. And it's like, oh, okay. That was fun. So their building is supposed to be done. Well, they got a late start, so now they're looking more towards May of next year. So I think once the buildings are done, that we'll come and start moving things around. Because we'll have a very nice community room in Green County, and bigger conference rooms and things like that. We won't have any more where the walls are kind of separated and you can see the outside.
It is interesting to see four counties get together, similar problems, but yet handled differently.
Yep.
And
yep.
It brings a lot to light.
It does, and it's great because, you know, we do need to continue to advocate throughout Southwest Wisconsin. You know, they hear from me on a regular basis, and they hear from the managers, but they have to hear from the constituents, you know. I'm up at the Capitol quite frequently. As our managers, we had the Aging Advocacy Day back in May, and that was very successful. We had about 200 people for that, from people from all over the state. I think in the 2015 to 2017 budget, when the ADRCs were on the chopping block, we all came together and said, okay, ADRCs are worth saving because, you know, it's, to me, it's the best use of taxpayer dollars because anybody can use the ADRC. You don't have to have an income limit. You know, we keep people in their homes longer. That's our mission, is to try to keep people in their homes, and also to keep people off publicly funded long-term care longer, too. You know, so to kind of make sure that Medicaid dollar, we're good stewards of our funding, too. So that's where we're at right now. I guess, you know, Our last big advocacy move was to put the dementia care specialists in the budget, in the governor's budget, as a permanent fixture, so we get funding for that position. We have a regional dementia care specialist. She goes throughout the four counties. Unfortunately, she is moving to Montana, but she has been very good. She's done a lot of stuff over the past 3 years that she's been here. She's gotten different communities involved in being dementia friendly. She's trained a lot of the businesses in the area. She's also worked with families, with people with dementia, a number of workshops, worked closely with the Alzheimer's Dementia Alliance and the Alzheimer's Association in our area to kind of bring dementia to light. And, you know, she's also brought the ADRC a lot more. You know, in doing that, she's also talked about the ADRC, which people were getting an increase in calls to and contacts from people like that. So,
yeah. I want to give a little just information on time, place, and for
wording.
So the governing board, yes, meets the fourth Thursday of every month, except for November, because that's Thanksgiving, and the board has said that although they like being around each other, they don't want to spend Thanksgiving together. So usually what we do is we'll have one meeting for November and December, because it's usually the fourth Thursday is also around Christmas time. So we usually have one meeting in November, like early part of December. But for the most part, we've been meeting monthly. Every once in a while, we'll have like Senator Johnson's aide, Tossett, come in and sit in on the meetings. We've had a couple people kind of show up at our meetings. We will talk about things going on, like the managed care organizations. For example, we're going to have another managed care organization is looking to come into our area called My Choice out of Milwaukee. So we'll have three managed care organizations in our area at that point. And then we also have a new IRIS consultant agency starting August 1st, which is called Advocate for You, and they're also out of Milwaukee. They will be coming over so that people in our area have choice. The IRIS program is a self-directed program. It's called Include Respect, I Self-Direct. That is a publicly funded waiver program. That the people who are in the program self-direct their own services. So they get a monthly budget and they direct how that money goes. The managed care organizations are more, they're similar to, you have a case manager with that, so it's a little bit more oversight with managed care organizations. And now we have, in our area, we have Community Link, which used to be Continuous, and they Continuous, Western Wisconsin Cares, and Community Care of Wisconsin merged together, and they are now in, I believe, 40 of the counties, so they've gotten bigger. And then we have Care Wisconsin, which they're also a pretty big company out of Madison, and then My Choice is looking to come in. Now, with My Choice, it's going to depend upon whether the state, and every 5 years, the managed care organizations can put in to go into a new region. The state, though, reserves the right to say, would it be feasible to have three managed care organizations in this area? You know, would they, you know, is there enough people to, you know, to provide services to? So, but they do want to have choice.
You know, and I think it's great as long as we have choices, but it adds to confusion for the participant. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Because there isn't the difference in the things they provide are not that different, right. So it's just really a matter of a company. Sometimes they're providers, there might be a little bit of a difference, but really for the most part.
Yeah, the benefits are pretty similar.
It's very similar. And we can't guarantee the benefits anyway, because it's what, you know, they look at them.
Any more on funding?
I want to go back to that fourth meeting of the month, and it starts at 9:30. It
starts at 9:30, goes to 11.
And the per diem?
It's all Greene County based, so it's $40 per diem, and then we pay mileage.
And they have good coffee.
We have good coffee. We always bring like fruit and
some. It is the same coffee you get here. I've never had you say you have good coffee here. So.
Except when I bring you.
Yeah, that stuff you bring. Our
people usually show up early because they like to chat and visit and talk. And
it is an excellent time to be able to network a little bit with your cohorts.
Well, and it's because one of the standing agenda items is the local managers. So each one of the local managers, like Lori, Linda, and Green, Valerie in Iowa County, and Bob in Lafayette County, they all talk about what's going on with their programs, you know, their aging programs, too. So it's a good time to kind of, for the board, I think, to say, oh, well, you guys are doing that over here? Oh, all right, well, maybe we should think about doing that over here. Or, you know, combining and collaborating on some things, too, which has been nice.
How about the Health Care Act?
Well, they were calling it they said they got Mitch slapped, which I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I had heard that. That was on, yeah, it was on social media. So they haven't gotten the votes for it right
well,
now.
I called this morning on Plan C, which is get rid of it and not
place
replace,
later.
You know, because it, I mean, I just heard out in the public, everybody else are talking about that. You know, leave a lot of people with either no health care or not knowing where to go, and very...
Now, I did hear on the radio this morning there is a last-ditch effort to try to... He's meeting with people today.
Oh, all the Republicans
so,
today.
I'm not sure if we're, you know...
They were still... When I was watching last night with the Washington Post, there was a thing online, and they were saying... The guy was saying that they don't have... And he doesn't think that they have the votes to repeal it either, because... this was the news anchor said, it's very hard to give somebody something... And they are entitled to it, and then to take that away. You know, it's going to be very difficult to do that. And they've got midterm elections coming up. So this is all going to be play out very, I think, very interestingly here.
Back with the funding, there isn't much. I was just at a state meeting for our aging programs yesterday. And there isn't much information on the Older Americans Act funding right now, other than the fact that we think it would be flat funded for the most part, but there just hasn't been they're not telling us anything, according to Janet Zander. The SHIP funding, which is used to provide some funding to our elder benefits specialist and the Medigap hotline and things like that, is in danger. The Senate has voted to discontinue it, and it will be going to the House, I think, yet this week. So that is a concern, because that does help kind of people get through that Part D and all of that. So I did bring this. If you look at this, it's actually, I think this one is actually from 2016, but it still just talks about what SHIP funding does. And SHIP is the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. That would be that they're looking. We don't get a great deal of funding for it. We get, I think, just right around $5,000. But there again, that $5,000 goes into our elder benefit specialist. That's money that the county doesn't have to put in. It does support it. So if we do lose that $5,000, it will impact our budget. We will have to look. Right now, we've had kind of the luxury of having an LTE to do some data entry in that program, because it's quite a bit. But whether, you know, if we do lose that funding, that could potentially have some impacts on that. So I did print off a few, so if you're interested in that, and if there's not enough here, I'll be happy to give you more. So if you want this after to look at. But if you are going to contact your House or your representative, please do it yet this week and maybe yet today, because I think it is going this week.
And just so people know, too, the OAA, there's Older Americans Act funding that's separate from ADRC funding.
Right.
So ADRC funding is, we get a state, the way it works in our area is that we get a grant from the state. It hasn't changed since 2008. And then all of the staff time report, so then we collect federal dollars on that time reporting for anything that we talk about with like Medicaid and things like that. So right now we have we're reporting time average across the state of Wisconsin. Time reporting is about 36 to 37%. We're at about 42% with our time reporting. So we're bringing those federal dollars in.
And with the Older Americans, that there was talk in the president's budget of an 18% cut in domestic funding, but we really weren't sure how that was going to affect Older Americans Act, because that can be, you know, a little bit different, and it wasn't real spelled out. Janet didn't know a whole lot yesterday either on that. So what you might run into once in a while is the Older Americans Act is the funding is directed at people over, you know, over the age of, well, we use the threshold as 60. The Act is really 65, but they let us go down to 60. and that's where that funding is targeted. But because we're the Aging and Disability Resource Center, we also serve people under the age of 60 who have disabilities or you know, need assistance that way. Occasionally, we run into issues where I've got somebody younger than 60 who wants services that are really generally directed at the elderly. Once in a while, we can do a waiver, or if they're on an if they're on a family care organization, we can provide them meals because that and that managed care organization will cover the cost of that. But sometimes that's not the case if they're not, and then I have issues with, well, why won't you provide that service to me? And I have to explain, well, that service is really only directed to people, you know, over the age of 60 because of the funding. So it gets a little confusing for people sometimes because they think all of our services should be open to everybody, but really, and for the most part, we will try to direct them in to find other funding, but it doesn't work that way all the time. So there are situations once in a while where that comes up. So you know, every once in a while, I get somebody who calls and says, "Well, I got a disability, so I'd like to have home-delivered meals." And I'm like, that's not quite the way it works. So, so we have to explain the eligibility requirements for that. Or, you know, it just, so you may run into that as a board member once in a while. Somebody will say, well, they won't provide me with a home-delivered meal. The other thing with a home-delivered meal is you have to be home alone. So I get people like, they won't deliver to me, and I'm like, that's because you drive to the site 3 days a week, so clearly you're not homebound. Again, we have some of those parameters that we have, and we have to actually do an assessment. So those are just things that sometimes as a board member you might come up against with somebody saying, well, they don't want to do this. And, you know, usually we'll try to provide them another resource, or, you know, we can get, if it's a meal, we'll try to help them find something that might meet their needs, but... Yeah, but there are times that the eligibility issue does come up. So.
All right, anything else on advocacy reports or activities? Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to 7, election of officers. So we've discussed the regional members.
Yes.
Which would you
prefer? Greg is automatically on as regional member because he is replacing Pat. Pat was the regional board member for the county. So he is automatically on.
So we need somebody to replace myself and
Shirley. And Shirley. So we need 2 regional board members to attend.
And we don't appoint, they're elected?
We recommend to the chair, the county board chair, and then he officially appoints, is I believe how it goes.
Okay. So at that point, do we have a recommendation?
Do we have, well, I think, first of all, do we have anybody interested? Joe, you indicated that you might be interested.
Joe would like to be, and anyone else?
I am.
Are you interested?
Yeah, but, okay.
Well, we need 2.
No, okay.
And Vicki?
Yeah.
Anybody else interested?
Dave, were you kind of looking?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Dave was kind of a... Okay. So at that rate, Greg is in, we have 2 positions to fill, and we have 3 people. So, nominations open then, right? Because we do need to settle on 2.
Yeah, I don't even know if you have to do a formal nomination process or how it is.
Did any one of the 3 of you want to back out?
Well, and remember, you have to have somebody that represents Elder and somebody that represents disabilities. So...
Well, I think Joe, can I speak for that? I think Joe would be very good on that. As we did have that one individual with cerebral palsy that was on there, and he brought a whole different perspective, yeah. I think.
I think the skill set with the strategic planning would work well regionally, too. I think that's a...
Anybody else want to recommend?
I got big plans for you, Joe.
I can tell you, when you were talking about IRIS, the first thought that I had was without that program, I wouldn't even be here.
So you have a great perspective that way.
It was just my only way to try and manage things.
So I think we're looking at Joe.
Yeah.
Out between Vicki and Dave.
Nothing more that you can
have. Okay.
I'm kind of confused because I thought I was already set up.
Oh, you thought you were already on?
Oh, I think actually.
I've been getting emails and.
I think you were.
And
I apologize for that because that was we missed a meeting in there and that was way back.
So I'm like, okay, people. You know, Mark
I
said
you
congratulated
did.
Me. So
I
I'm
forgot,
sitting here.
Yes.
Going,
so can we make?
I apologize. You know, I think we dealt with that like way back in April, and then we missed May. I'm so sorry. I'm
what
sorry.
Happened to June?
I couldn't go in May, and then I think
we
didn't
not have
one.
Yeah,
in June.
That's why I kind of I apologize.
So
you are you, absolutely right.
Do we need to vote with a
recommendation?
Sorry, Dave. I'm not offended.
I would have somebody. I would have somebody make
somebody
a
like a motion to recommend to.
God, Vicky, I really apologize for that.
These three people.
Yeah, I'll move to
Dan.
Recommend Vicky and Joe.
Yeah, I'll second it.
That was literally way
you know,
back.
Week I had
way back in
April.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Hearing none.
Who's
all those in favor, Dan and Dave. Right?
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Passed.
I think we missed May and then regional missed June, and that's how I kind of forgot about it. So.
Okay, let's start out with the chair. Nominations are now open, right? We do need to nominate.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Nominations are now open for the chair.
And Mary Lou's term does go through to next year, so. We need a chair, we need a vice chair, which basically
and
just fills in if Mary Lou's taking a trip, which be forewarned she does. And then the secretary is Courtney is here to take notes, so basically the secretary is just here to sign off on those notes. And
so
of the official capacity, but you really actually don't have to take anything. We have a recorder and we have Courtney in.
So you just have to say aye.
Basically, I think technically we should have them sign your little template at the end of the meeting. But yeah, it's nothing very.
So
very taxing.
Now open for chair. Do I hear her?
I'll nominate Mary Lou, chair.
I'll second.
Well, technically, by Robert's Rules of Order, I have to ask, are there three times? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations from this board? One last time, and are there any other nominations? Okay. So, we'll take a vote.
Somebody told me the other day that it changed the one, but
okay. I've been in a couple meetings that people go, what do you mean, not three? Well, technically,
okay.
The new rules that came out said you only have to ask once.
Uh-huh.
The old rule
that.
Said three. Okay.
You do it any way you want.
All right, all those in favor of Mary Lou Bowers being chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right, passed. Vice chair.
Wait
now,
a minute.
Yes.
You did the nominations in first, second, and but then don't you need to cast an unanimous ballot?
Well, not as long as we throw it out.
Okay.
If somebody would have said to cast an unanimous, then you'd have been done.
Okay.
Otherwise, you have to go through the procedure.
So our vice chair.
So the
James.
Next time, vice chair, somebody casts you unanimous.
Vice chair was Jan, and she is off.
Yes, and Jan is off. So do I hear nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Dave. Tim.
I'll nominate Joe.
Any further nominations? All right, nominations are closed, so we will vote, right?
Yes.
All right, all the, and can I do this by a show of hands?
Do you want to do a paper ballot or do you want to do a paper
ballot? Vicky goes
show
of hands.
My feelings won't be hurt.
Huh?
My feelings wouldn't be hurt either way. Mine will be if I win.
Can we ask, are both people willing to?
No, I'm
going to
decline it.
I can see you're going that way. Yes,
that makes sense. What's that? What did I hear? I heard some talk over
Dan
there.
withdrew is not.
Yeah.
I guess I need to know a little more about
the time. So withdrew Joe?
The vice chair, do you know what vacations you got planned for this year?
Yeah, I do. I have one in October. It may not affect that, though.
It's really filling in, and she really doesn't.
It's just around the meeting, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. She really doesn't miss that many meetings.
Unless I'm on the meeting.
But
I just wanted to make sure there were no like background things that have to happen.
October meeting, I will be here because it's the 8th through the 14th.
No, it's simply running the meeting. If for some reason I would leave or something, there might be additional responsibilities in terms of, I think the chair has signed vouchers in the past or something and done that if the director wasn't here.
And if she doesn't get a hold of me when you had to change...
I just had an evaluation, so I think I'm good to go for a while.
It's just sometimes my state of mind is not predictable. So.
Does someone want to cast a unanimous vote for Dave then?
Yeah, move to cast the unanimous ballot for Joe.
Now you're mixed
up. Wait a minute.
For Joe. Were,
for Joe?
He declined. He declined. Dave declined. Yeah, you give me...
Actually, it's Dan.
Dave declined. So what
Dan.
That's one new thing.
Now wait a second.
Okay.
We really don't need those name tags.
We don't need
this might have been the most confusing meeting we've ever had since I came here.
So who is actually up for vice chair?
Hirsch nominated Dan Timmerman.
Dan declined.
Right.
Dan declined.
And then he nominated me.
And Dan nominated Joe.
Is Dave still
ready.
In the
running?
I wasn't.
No.
Dave never
was. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Okay, so cast out. I heard a unanimous vote for Joe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Who made that?
Dan did.
Dan.
Yes.
Thank you. Was there a second for that?
That is your name, right?
Thought I heard somebody say second.
Second.
Becky said second. I knew that.
Courtney's going, aye. Never.
Dan cast a unanimous vote. And Becky seconded.
Yes.
So.
And you guys gave me.
So it's
a hard time about Chris.
Oh, lordy. All right, nominations are now open for secretary.
I'll nominate Vicky.
I'll second.
We have a second. Vicky. Somebody want to cast the unanimous vote?
I will.
Second. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, close, and Vicky, you're get. Vicky is secretary.
Congratulations,
so,
Vicky.
Thank you.
Yeah. Second.
Yes.
Greg Sapon.
Whoosh.
So,
phew.
MLD is chair, Joe is vice chair. And Secretary Vicky. Okay? And the regional members will be Greg, Joe, and Vicky.
Everybody's going to have big name tapes.
Big! No aliases, all right?
That was hysterical.
Lord.
And our next regional meeting is next week, next Thursday.
I don't know where y'all live, but we used to get together and kind of carpool.
I don't think officially, Vicky is official, I believe. Now that she's pointed that out and I remember that, Joe will not be official, but is there any reason? He could still attend.
Oh, absolutely. It's open meeting. Absolutely.
So if you, we'll send you an agenda regardless.
Yeah. We'll send you the packet.
Yes, so that's tomorrow.
No, a week from
tomorrow. A week from tomorrow.
And then we ask you to come back.
I've also sent your information to regional office already,
yes.
So
okay.
You should be getting an agenda.
So you'll be getting an agenda and a packet.
We do ask you to come back to this meeting and report.
Between the two of you, usually. Or the three of you, actually.
I'll give you my email to me, send me the information.
Yes.
Any further questions on the what information you may need at that regional meeting. Extremely interesting. All right, we'll go to number 8, transportation.
Just quickly, I didn't print this out for everybody just because we are working with the Regional Planning Commission. They work with our Transportation Coordinating Committee. We have to have a coordinating committee, and it's actually 6 counties, I think. Richland, Green, Iowa, Lafayette, Brandt. Maybe not, maybe it's only 5. So we've been collecting some information on transportation through surveys. In 2018, we have to write a new coordinating plan for the state in order to get our funding, so they want to know what needs are out there. This is kind of preliminary. They're hoping to get more information, but they did extract some information of it, so I was just going to share it with you very briefly. Some of the information that they got was they contacted nursing homes and assisted livings, they contacted hospitals, and then they contacted EMS, and then we had just a number of individuals fill out the surveys as well. We posted it in the News and Views, and we had it on site at various places. So we are hoping to get more of this, so this isn't kind of like the final one. I think we're going to offer it at our senior health fair. But one of the, and you can look at this afterwards, I don't want to spend too much time on it since it's not completely finished. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was the use of the taxi cab in Grant County. 36% of people are using the taxi cab. Now, that's not necessarily just our taxi cab, but the only taxi cabs in Grant County are Platteville and ours. So I actually thought that was a fairly significant number.
My daughter actually uses that. She has epilepsy and can't drive.
What's that?
My daughter uses the taxi.
Great. That's great.
I think the time of service or something is that the same?
What was asked was how aware is the public about their transportation options? And I would say 45% have heard of it, have used it. 39% have heard of it, have not tried it. And only 9% have heard of it but hadn't used it, and 7% have never heard of it. What people want improved or why do they don't use it. One of them, it was only 8% for times of service are inconvenient, 8% trips take too long, 8% destinations are undesirable. Most of it was just under, they don't need it for 48%. And when they asked kind of, you know, if you don't need it, what are you using to get around? 67% reported that they take a ride with family or friends. 37% said they use the senior center bus. The way they worded that, people are a little confused because the senior center in Platteville does have their own bus, but then we have our bus, and I think people get that a little bit confused as to what bus is who. So I'm not sure that that's just all senior center. And then they get around with the taxi at 36%, and they use the volunteer driver program at 28%. So just kind of interesting. They did try to find out the most demanding times that rides were needed, and they pretty much are actually between the daytime hours when people would have medical appointments. So we do meet the majority of needs there. In terms of like Saturdays and Sundays, it was actually not that high compared to the other ones. Like total rides needed on a Sunday were 18 and Saturday was 25, where during the week they were anywhere from 68 to 74. So I think we do meet the majority of times. I mean, obviously it's very difficult to provide services after hours sometimes, but we do have some volunteer drivers doing that. Most of our demographics that responded that are using were 55% were over 75 years of age, 23% were over 65. So let's see if there's anything else on here that I wanted to point out. So I just thought this was kind of interesting, and we're going to, you know, we're hoping to get, wanting assistance. So the biggest thing that they really wanted assistance for when they're looking for transportation was 51.85% wanted help loading and unloading packages, which is what we do. And space to hold their wheelchair walker was at 30%. And literally that is, you know, the transportation that we provide. It's that door to door to door. So we make sure not only do they get from their door to our vehicle, but we also get them to their destination and then make sure that they get in the clinic or whatever the case may be too. So it's just that little extra step. And having ridden the bus with Randy on a few occasions, I mean, he is, and they have some packages sometimes, he is hauling packages from the bus to the door. And I'm amazed at how much they get sometimes. But they wouldn't be able to do that if they didn't have him, you know, able to take those packages in. So so I will, when the official survey comes out, I will give you that information as well. One of the things, you know, nursing homes, assisted livings are looking at more of those services. One of the issues we have here is we have 9 nursing homes in Grant County, so we can't provide that level of service to nursing homes all over because that's all we can be doing. And we also have 3 hospitals, so there again, we run into kind of issues with that. One of Gunderson Hospital in Boscobel was looking for transportation providers, but what they specifically wanted was people that were coming off of an anesthetic. They wanted a commitment from the transportation providers that, number one, they would call 911 if they felt these people were in need of an emergency service en route home, and number two, they wanted them to get into the house and ensure that they were safe in the home. And I wouldn't sign. I said no. I can't have our drivers liable for that, or thinking our drivers are not, you know, they're not EMS. They're not prepared to make that call. Nor would I ever put them in that position. So
they shouldn't release them so soon.
I mean, you know, they fall as soon as the driver leaves, and then what? I was just very uncomfortable with that. So I'm curious. I was going to follow up with Eric at a different date just to see who they have providing them transportation, because I think they're not. I just thought that was highly unreasonable to ask that of volunteer drivers.
Doesn't sound like they want drivers very bad.
Yeah. I mean, with that, they're going to have to look at medical transports, which drive the cost way high, but I was not comfortable with that at all. So I can't imagine. So anyway, that's just kind of it. We are going to put that out at our senior health fair. We will be looking. I do want to do some strategic planning around transportation, so I want to use those kind of looking at those needs, because I do think we need to, buses and the CDL drivers being very, very hard to hire these days, I think we need to look at some different options and how to provide services and maybe with smaller buses. So I think it's really important that we at least get the information on what people are needing and then try to figure out how to provide those services.
Transportation usually comes up as an issue.
It does. It often rises to the need, and yet people don't always access it because it's not quite meeting their needs. So, in the 30 years I've been in the human services field, transportation is always one of the top needs. And yet, for 30 years, I've been trying to make sure people get where they need to go, and it's and for a lot of reasons, they don't always access that. So, and I think as the baby boomers start to age, we need to look at more demand response. I think that's where, if you look, they like our volunteer drivers, that's more of a demand response. Here's when I need it, here's when I want it. Not what time does your bus go. So my feeling is we may need to look at smaller routes from 2 or 3 communities, say, you know, and I'm just throwing it out there because I don't really know how the needs are going to play out, but maybe you take Basketball, Blue River, Muscadet, and you go to Richland Center, and you don't spend 8 hours, you spend 4 hours, and they can get what they need, and you can do that without a CDL driver, so, because CDL drivers are impossible, they're just impossible to find right now. If you spend any time traveling on the roads, if you go by any bus garage, you will see a big sign, but everyone's trying to hire a CDL driver, so. So I'll keep you informed on that.
Okay. Anything else on 8? Otherwise, we'll go to 9. Approval of vouchers.
I don't think we've got anything.
No repairs on buses.
Not buses, but taxis and food vans and. The taxi is limping along. We do have a replacement coming, but no word from the DOT when that will be. And talking with other counties, they've said don't expect anything from the DOT till probably December. So I'm like, we really need a taxi. But
any questions on the approval of vouchers?
Is there anything in here, Courtney, that you can see that maybe is out of the...
Not that I...
Village of Muscadet, that would be a rent.
I'll move to approve the vouchers.
Dan makes a motion to approve the vouchers. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
2 seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Passed. Financial report. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks. Again, I don't think we have anything really out of the ordinary. I think we're on track pretty much with all of the programs. We are doing some projections right now and getting ready for the 2018 budget. So otherwise, I think revenue is coming in the way we expect it to, and I think most of our expenses are as expected. We were doing a little shuffling around. We had a few percentages that Courtney and I realized that we didn't have them quite correctly, so we are doing a little shuffling around. So our service management will get adjusted a little bit. But other than that, I think everything is on track. So.
Anybody want to make a motion to accept the financial report? Arnold.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Passed. All right, reports.
I did a pretty limited ADRC report, mostly because it seems like the last month I've just been attending meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. And I didn't list all the meetings, but so I just kind of hit the highlights. As you know, Whitney Thompson, she was our dementia care specialist. She is leaving. She's accepted a position. I don't know if I got that right. I said Alzheimer's Association in Montana, but it is in Montana.
Yep. No, that's right.
Is it?
It's okay. The Alzheimer's Association.
She's just been phenomenal providing services in Grant County. Platteville has just done a wonderful job of becoming dementia friendly. We are working. We just did a kickoff banquet in Boscobel that she did, so we will be moving forward with that. We are hoping to have that position filled. Mary is advertising that position right now, so we are hoping that by late summer we will have that position back in place, because it really is necessary and it does a lot of marketing and outreach for us. So we really hate to see her go. Our farmers market voucher program is still going, and it will go to the end of September. The Farmers Market Voucher Program gives eligible participants, there's a little bit of an income level, they can receive $25 in vouchers to be used at local farmers market stands that are approved. So it's a great resource for people to go out and use those farmers markets. And they can be used at the apple orchards in the fall. So, it's really nice. So
there's not a time limit once they receive it?
They have to spend them out, I believe, by the end of October. We have to give them out by the end of September, but I think they've got to the end of October to spend them. We are going to be completing a lean project. Mariah is being trained in lean right now. Lean... And Joe, did you have the experience at Lean too? I thought you did. So, Lean is an initiative of the county that we have. It's been it kind of came through Toyota in the manufacturing process, and it's a way of just looking at processes and trying to determine what's valuable in those processes and what's not, and get rid of what's not and kind of hone in on what's valuable. So the county's been doing some Lean training. Courtney and I actually took what was it, like 16 weeks of week training that we did. And now we've got Mariah doing a little shorter version of that. So occasionally you'll see us report. We try to do some lean projects every so often. If you've noticed our entryway when you come in, it's a little less than desirable, I think. So she is going to do what is called a 5S project on that, and really just kind of sort out the clutter and get it organized. So she's going to be working on that. But we've done a number of different lean projects over the past few years on getting our reporting systems better, in getting our billing systems better. So just
I just have a question that I'm just not aware of. So when you go into the new building, is the social service and the ADRC going to again have the same reception area or something?
It will be ADRC, and then you will walk further down and it will be social services,
okay.
And over here will be the sheriff's department and emergency management.
Okay.
So, and the jail will be in the back. So the way it looks, you won't really know. I mean, if from what I've seen of the building, the 3D things, you it's not like you can really tell that there's a jail there. It's not going to be jail like.
You don't get to see the bars.
Until you get to the point where you have to go through the metal detector.
Until they put the handcuffs on you and give you official tour,
well,
then you're good.
In Green Lake County, you have to go through metal detectors to get to the ADRC.
Yeah.
And the state was
not,
really?
Not very warm.
They were not happy about that because it was not warm and welcoming.
And I beeped and I got wanded, so.
She did, yeah.
That was not very warm and welcoming at all. The ADRC for new members is they really do focus on a warm and welcoming environment for our consumers. They really want that. They want them to be very comfortable when they walk into their into our offices and just and not be, not feel like, you know, they shouldn't be there or feel intimidated or anything like that. It's supposed to be just a very nice environment. So we do strive for that.
You talk about getting wanted. I just traveled to Africa and back.
Oh, wow.
And I have an artificial hip. So I got wanded and a free massage.
I never had that. I flew back from Hawaii, and we were in the fast TSA line. Well, I wanted to take home this coconut peanut butter, macadamia nut peanut butter, and I wanted to buy it at the last minute because it was really, really hot, and so I thought, oh, I'm going to put it in my hard shell because that will, it's glass, not thinking the hard shell was the carry-on. And, so I'm in the fast TSA line, and they're like, they're holding up your suitcase, and I'm like,
confiscated it.
I'm like, what do I have in there? You know, you have to confiscate it. But I didn't have to. That was all they did. She's like, do you want to take the peanut butter? You can go back and recheck your, she said, you can check your baggage and put the peanut butter back in. I'll let you do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay $25 to check my bag. So I have a $6 thing of peanut butter to bring home. So, yeah, was not very happy about it. Didn't think about it. I did attend a roundtable hosted by DOT. Our 8521 is funding available for our buses and our volunteer driver program and a little bit of money for our taxi program. This is the first one that I've been on board that DOT has done in a long time. And the transportation programs are, there's a lot to know in there. So I was very happy that they did this, and they're maybe going to do some more in the future. So it just kind of reiterated information that I finally know now after 4 years, but it was good to have that roundtable where we could ask some questions. We did provide some outreach to direct care workers at the Southwest Tech Direct Care Conference. I don't know the official name of that conference, Barry, so that's what I put. But they put on, there was a conference there too.
Oh, it was just a direct care conference. Yeah, direct care, professional direct care workers conference.
So we talked about ADRC a little bit, gave them some information about it, and then hosted a table there where they could get more information. So we did do the Dementia Friendly Initiative in basketball. We had a really good attendance for that. I think we had over 20 people there. And that was like business people from the community. So we'll be moving ahead with that and doing some dementia-friendly activities and training there. And then we had a great staff training provided by Dr. Mark Rubel on compassion fatigue and working with consumers and just, you know.
Where is he from?
Platteville.
Yeah, the Family Resource Center.
He's a professor over at the university, too.
He's been a psychologist for years, yeah, and he's also a professor. He's just great presentation.
He's done several presentations for our staff on different subjects pertaining to taking care of yourself when you're working in this field, because it can get.
He also does ethics and boundaries,
yep,
and things like that. So it was an excellent time. And his whole background is just very interesting. So, mostly we're working on budget projections and getting gearing up. We do have a department head meeting, I think, next week for budgets, and so budget season will be upon us. So much for summer. So we'll be working on that. That takes quite a bit of time because there's always lots of variables there. You do have a nutrition report. Do we have a program report? I don't think we do. I think it got filled out, but we'll send that out in the next one.
May I ask what's going on over at Blackwell?
The Senior Center is moving forward with move to OE Gray. It's not ideal, but it is what it is.